This is a podcast from ABC Overnights. Here's Michael Pavlich.
We're going to talk all about the Australian National Anthem, Advance Australia Fair, on the program this morning. Just thought we'd get in the mood with a bit of that one. We're going to have a chat to Wendy Hargreaves, University of Southern Queensland, who's joined us on the program this morning. She's a senior lecturer and advisor at the University of Southern Queensland. G'day, Dr. Wendy Hargreaves. Good morning.
Good morning, Pav.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
It's nice to hear those girls singing that song. What do you think of I Am, You Are, We Are Australian?
Oh, look, I just got goosebumps when you played that then. There's something really special about that song, and so many Aussies are coming and telling me that that's the song that they really connect with.
Yeah, it's a funny one. I've heard a bit of chatter about this lately, and it seems that the primary school teachers are one of the main forces behind wanting this change. They're driving the change. Because they reckon kids are just butchering it. They can't sing it at all. It's a very difficult song to sing, and in particular it's making their lives a nightmare because they have to hear it every Monday morning, and the kids are just making it so out of tune that they would much rather hear that song that we just heard. It's a lot easier to sing.
Yes, I've been a primary school music teacher for many, many years, and oh my goodness, it would make me cringe. And you know, when I was growing up, God Save the Queen was the anthem, and I could play that on the recorder. But you know, Advance Australia Fair, it's got this range, in other words, the number of notes in it, how high and how low it goes. It just makes it really, really tricky. And you know, the schools are the places that we learn our anthem. It's a training ground. So yeah, that is a bit of a problem.
Yeah, look, I've got here, Peter in Wide Bay says, I've always thought I'm Australian should be definitely the national anthem. Not only is it an incredible timeline of Australian history, it's a highly inclusive song at a time of diverse opinions of our history. The song is a reminder that all, regardless of our background, we are all still Australians who live together in this big, beautiful country, says Peter in Wide Bay, which is true. Yeah. It is much more inclusive in that regard. But, I mean, national anthems, it's a sort of rock pop song, isn't it? I Am, You Are Australia. I don't know. How would that sit as far as alongside all the other national anthems of the world?
Yeah, it would stand out as quite different. But, you know, that's how music works, isn't it? Over the years, things change. So, you know, which country in the world is going to be the first one to go, okay, let's go with something modern? Be interesting to know. Maybe it could be us. Maybe we could be on the forefront there. But you're right, musically, it would stand out as being quite different from the traditional hymn.
Have you heard the Frio... A Fremantle Football Club song?
No, I can't say I have.
Yeah, well, that's a modern song interspersed or compared to all the other teams have these old male choruses singing singing songs from yesteryear. Fremantle have gone out and commissioned their own one.
Oh, I'm going to go and check that one out now.
It goes something like, "Goo the old heave-ho, we are the Fremantle Dockers," something like that. But I'm only bringing this point up because there is a tradition with these things, you know, and so that sort of does need to be respected a little bit, doesn't it? The story behind Advance Australia Fair is worth telling in its own right, I would have thought.
It's got an interesting history. I mean, the song dates all the way back to 1878. So we've had this as our anthem 50 years ago when Gough Whitlam said, right, we need a new anthem. But the song itself is what we might call like a golden oldie. It was a popular song way back then. And, you know, that's how it became our anthem.
Yeah, I mean, the Star Spangled Banner isn't exactly a piece of cake to sing, I wouldn't have thought either. I mean, so, you know, they are difficult to sing national anthems by virtue of the fact that a lot of them are older songs.
Yeah, that one's also got a massive range, and you can hear all sorts of recordings over the internet of people sort of cracking and breaking on those notes. I'm a bit happy with Advance Australia Fair, but I still think maybe we can find something new that is a bit easier to sing and represents us better.
Yeah, you primary school teachers, you're all the same. You're just caring about your own eardrums and no one else's. I actually really like it. I really like Advance Australia Fair. It does touch me. I think it's very melodic, beautiful melodies. I mean, the lyrics can be updated and can be changed, and as has been done.
That is true. That's true. Over the years, we've had a number of tweaks. You know, it began as, you know, Australian sons, so we didn't even mention women. We had to change that word, we are young and free, to we are one and free, to help sort of be more inclusive of our Indigenous people. We do have a bit of a problem, though, that when you look at the history of the song, it really is a song of the colonial times. And, you know, that isn't inclusive of our First Nations people.
No, but I would have thought that would be the same with a lot of the American national anthem and a lot of national anthems, that they don't necessarily talk about what happened before.
That is true. There is some of that. But is that really what we want to say? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Well, and we've got to think about what do we think now? 50 years on, we gave a run at Advance Australia Fair. What does everybody think?
Yeah, no, fair enough. Well, ring us up and tell us what you think. 1-300-800-222. 1-300-800-222. I mean, a lot of people will be satisified and say, you know, why do we need to change? Quite happy with as it is.
I've heard some very passionate arguments on both sides, so yes, that's true.
Mm. Indeed, and it is something, I suppose, we're still coming to terms with. 50 years isn't that long, really, in terms of a national anthem, is it?
Well, given my age, I'm quite glad you're saying that. is it? No, there's some very, very old national anthems. There's often these songs come from very ancient places, like the Japanese national anthem comes from pre-10th century poetry. Of course, it doesn't actually become, the idea of having an anthem didn't come till much later, but, you know, some of them go back centuries.
I've got a text here to say, I thought the Seekers originally did I Am Australian. Hutt says, yeah, they did. Well, it was written by Bruce Woodley, who was in the Seekers, and Dobie Newton, of course, who was in the Bushwhackers as well. It was a joint co-write with those two. And the Seekers certainly did a version of it, didn't they, there, Wendy?
Yes. Yep. Yes, that's right, they did.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you're aware of the Hutt, Principality of Hutt River. Have you ever heard of that, Wendy?
Can't say I have, no.
Okay. Well, it's a little principality, a micronation in Western Australia.
Oh, now it's ringing a bell,
yeah.
Yes.
Prince Leonard of the Hutt River Principality.
Uh-huh.
And he had his own, printed his own money, had his own stamps, tried to secede from the rest of the country. Didn't quite work out for him. However, he did have a national anthem composed for the Principality of Hutt River.
I'm fascinated. I'd love to hear that one too.
Look, I'd like to play it for you. We've got so many calls. Let me just tell you about it because it's sung by John English, of all people.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And the Foster Brothers. It's a really good recording, a great production, and it is the national anthem of the Principality of Hutt River. Have a look at that one. Maybe you want to put that in your conversation next time you're having one, as a possible.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Look, let's head to the phone. Cecilia has called us. G'day, Cecilia.
Good morning, Pav. I like our anthem, and I'm a primary teacher too, and I know the kids sing out of tune, but the earnest look on their faces when they're singing it as I try to get to the thing. But why I rang was I started to cry. My daughter played football for Australia against Ireland in Melbourne for the Harmony Games, and I wasn't expecting anything, but Australia won. And there she was standing underneath the flag as it went up and they started to play Advance Australia Fair. And I started to cry, of course. That's my daughter. Then every Monday morning when they played Advance Australia Fair at school, I started to cry because it just...
the memory.
It hit the same nerve as it did the day. Yeah. For about 6 months, I couldn't stop myself crying when it went up.
What happens now when you hear it?
I'm still feel proud, but I don't cry.
It'll probably still get you a little bit.
Oh yeah, I'll still remember that moment, and that was a very special moment. I mean, not many people get to see their children underneath the Australian flag.
No, what a proud moment it must have been for you.
Yeah, and the Harmony Games, especially since I've got an Irish background anyway.
Yep.
But you know, it's a really important. You know, harmony is what we need in this world at the moment, isn't it? Well, I do understand what you. Speaker was saying about the Indigenous people, but as far as national anthems around the world go, we keep trying to tweak it to include more people, and I think it does have a very uplifting melody.
Yeah, thanks, Cecilia, and must have been a very proud moment for you. And look, there are a lot of Australians who they hear the song and it fills them with pride. So it's something that is very close to a lot of people, Wendy, and mightn't necessarily be that easy to change.
Yes, I think you're right about that. And it really needs to be a conversation about whether we should change it, because we're going to have people who feel very strongly, as I said. And that is a beautiful story for Celia about what she experienced. And that's really important memory for her and for other Australians too. So, you know, we need to chat about this.
Well, look, we heard that it's the melody, really, that the thing I believe most people connect with. Couldn't we just write a new verse that, you know, we can bring all that inclusive stuff into it?
You know, that's really interesting because that's what happened at Federation back in 1901. They actually did write a new verse. Our actual second verse of Advance Australia Fair was, well, comparatively new, if I can put it that way, back then. So, yes, that is possible. I've also heard almost the reverse of that, where we've kept the lyrics and, you know, put it to a different melody, which has been an interesting idea. Often it's done in jest, but, you know, that's something to think about as well.
Look, as long as they leave the word Gert there, Wendy, that's all I care about.
I do agree. It makes us all united in laughing.
gotta love a bit of Gert.
You gotta love that Australian humour about it.
Indeed. I'm with you there. All right, Phil on the Sunshine Coast. G'day, Phil.
Hi. I remind everyone that every military badge, Australian military badge, has the word advance below the, you know, where the motto is. And on, I would remind people too, if they want to hear a wonderful rendition of Waltzing Matilda, have a look on YouTube with the game where Wales played Australia in 1966. And it was the first time Australia beat Wales at in a test match, but the crowd's rendition of Waltzing Matilda before the match started is stirring.
Do you find it's a bit folky, Phil, perhaps, for a national anthem?
Possibly. Mm. It's traditional, isn't it? I don't think it replaced the national anthem as such.
No, it didn't. It was on the vote, the plebiscite. It was one of the suggestions, and it got a lot of votes, I think 26% from memory. The next Song of Australia, I think, got about 18%, and Advance Australia Fair was up over 40%, I think. Isn't that the numbers, aren't they, Wendy?
Oh, you're better off than me on that one. I do know that it was actually voted for twice. So back in 1974, Gough Whitlam had that poll out there and had Waltz and Matilda was included then, and also in the 1980s as well. Both times it was not the top song Advance Australia Fair was.
Phil, the Waltzing Matilda is the words, but it's another tune, isn't it, I believe?
What, the one at Carter Farms Park?
Possibly, yeah. An old Irish tune that borrowed the melody
from. On that score, being a New Zealander, we have God Defend New Zealand, which was came about through some chap, I can't think of his name offhand, who used to sell poetry in order to raise money, and his words became the anthem after God Save the Queen.
Okay, so I was going to ask that. So what is the national anthem of New Zealand? What did you say it was called?
It is God Save, God Defend New Zealand.
Has it got its own tune, also, or are you singing it to God Save the Queen tune?
No. God Save the Queen. I think we're permitted to have both.
Okay.
But I notice also.
So just still hang on a sec. So is the God Defend the Queen the current national anthem of New Zealand?
Yes, it's acceptable because you've got a Governor General.
Is there any reference to the Maori in God Defend New Zealand?
Yes.
There is.
Yeah, that's translated, and that's what I wanted to say. Mm. The Wallabies, remember, began one of their anthems singing in Aboriginal language.
Oh, yeah? Wow.
Just recently.
Oh, that's great.
Mm. New Zealand anthem is allowed legally to be sung in English and in Maori, and that's what makes it quite an interesting idea, an interesting approach to it.
I reckon we should be having the haka, shouldn't we, for the New Zealand national anthem, Phil?
Oh, Lord forgive us.
Imagine them singing that every time New Zealand won a gold medal, which wouldn't be very often, but, you know.
Yeah. Oh, dreadful. Oh,
yeah, sorry for suggesting that, Phil. Wendy, you're probably not into that idea either.
Well, I'm a cricket fan. Let's put it that way.
All right. Now, Waltzing Matilda has been suggested a number of times, but my understanding is it's not an original tune. The lyrics might be, but not only that, it's a song about stealing a sheep.
Yeah, which is kind of Aussie, but, yeah, perhaps not our best foot, you know, putting our best foot forward type idea.
Look, one of the things about Advance Australia Fair, I know he was born in Scotland, but he did write it in Australia, and he wrote it in response to the fact that he went to a gig or a performance of a whole lot of international national anthems, and the Australian one was missing. And he thought, well, Australia really need their own national anthem. So he wrote it on the bus on the way home, apparently.
Yes, that's what I've read as well.
So it was written in this country.
Mm.
It's particularly Australian melody and particularly Australian words. So does that swing you a little bit?
Well, it's really up to what everyone thinks, really. I mean, there's pluses and minuses, aren't there? And it's hard to know which side to come down on.
Indeed. Well, I know, but you're biased because you're a primary school teacher, so you're going to stick up for the primary school teachers of the world. let's have a chat to Phil. G'day, Phil.
Hello.
Hi.
Phil Buttigieg here. Look, I'm an ex-military man, and at one time I was the RSM of the 25th Battalion at Toowoomba. It's a famous battalion from the First World War, and I have here in my hand right now a program that the battalion had on board ship coming home. The program's called 1,000 Days of Active Service, and on March the 24th, 1918, on their way home, they had it's a 12-page program. They had a large dinner for the officers and so forth on board the ship. And I have the dinner program here, and very interesting to read that they had a big brass band as well in the battalion, and they played the Australian National Anthem called Advance Australia Fair, and that was in 1918.
Yeah, look, it goes way
so
back.
So there's a bit more history to it.
Definitely.
Its use. A bit more history to its use, I mean, by
now,
the military forces.
Look, my understanding is that they sang it at the opening of Federation. Is that right, Wendy?
Yes, I believe so. That's what the second verse was commissioned for.
Okay.
There were existing four verses, but the new second verse was for 1901.
Now, I believe they had a huge choir as well singing it.
I'd like to know that for sure. I think it's very likely.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a massive choir they
mm-hmm.
pulled in to sing. That
oh, that's
version.
Right. Actually, yes, you're quite right. Yeah. I do remember that.
So it'd be interesting to know more about that. Obviously, there was no one there to witness that, but you may know the story of it. Incredible. So it was well recognised as a song in Australia, as a sort of patriotic song for a long, long time before it became our national anthem.
Indeed it was. It was, as I said, a golden oldie, a bit of a favourite there.
I've got here...
I'm just interested that... I'm just interested, Pat, that it's listed here as the Australian National Anthem, Advance Australia Fair.
Yes, now, that's very interesting.
The program, the copy be needed. It's very, very genuine.
What date are you saying, Phil?
March the 24th, 1918. The program is about a 12-page dinner program. It's very official looking, even though it's a wee bit moth-eaten. I came by the program when one of the officers from the First World War had just died, and at the time I was the RSM of the battalion, and his widow rang me and said, RSM, you can come and get his gear now. And so I sent a driver down who brought back a trunk of equipment. It had all sorts of wonderful things in it from a historical point of view. But amongst it was this this program.
You sent a driver down, Phil. What rank were you?
I was just an RSM, a warrant officer class one. Mm-hmm.
Great, amazing story.
Regimental Sergeant Major, yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty high up. Look, thank you, Phil, for sharing that, because I'll take a couple of those things with Wendy. It was a very popular patriotic song here and there that was actually listed as the Australian National Anthem. There was sort of an unofficial Australian National Anthem theme to it, because we had God Save the Queen, but that was obviously always going to be the English National Anthem. So maybe it was recognised almost unofficially as our National Anthem for all those years.
I think quite likely to be right there, in the sense that, you know, there's an idea of an anthem, if you take the word national out of it. The idea of a national anthem is it's actually been a government proclamation that, you know, this is it, this is the song. But we certainly can have anthems that we identify. So it's the key point here is, was it officially declared that? To my knowledge, I don't think it would have been, but I'm fascinated by this story for sure.
A midway option. Let's go with Adam Hill's version of Advance Australia Fair to the tune of Working Class Man. Thank you, Nigel, in London. Appreciated that. You'd love to see that, wouldn't you, Wendy?
Oh, it's hilarious. I listened to it the other day and I just couldn't help but just enjoy it. I would love to. I'd love to play that at the Olympic Games. It would just make me laugh.
Mick was telling me a story before about that in one Olympic Games, they did actually play Advance Australia Fair when we won a gold medal. In Helsinki Games, was it you were telling me that? No, someone was, it might have been Suzanne was telling me. Yeah, that they did get them mixed up, although just being a bit cheeky, and they actually did play it in the 52 Olympics, I believe.
So, oh, yeah. Yes. There was a big songwriting competition in the 1950s. Yet again, we've had several of these looking for our anthem because the Olympics were coming down to Melbourne in 56. And so they were saying, OK, we need a song, we need a song. So this has actually been a sort of recurring theme in our history of talking about our anthem and trying to find an anthem. So that's very interesting about the 1950s. It would have been to do with us wanting to think about, OK, Olympics are coming to us, what are we going to sing? Are we going to keep singing God Save the Queen? We're going to go for something else, or God Save the King, I should say.
No, it would have been odd, I would have thought. Australia wins a gold medal and we're hearing the British, or the national anthem.
Yeah.
I think that would have rubbed a few people up the wrong way. We should mention also about the song Advance Australia Fair, because we haven't mentioned much about it as far as the actual song itself. Written in 1878, and the composer is Peter McCormack, who is a very famous musician, Scottish-born composer, who did that first penned a patriotic song, Advance Australia Fair. So I think it's important we mention that. Kieran has called. G'day, Kieran.
Oh, good morning, Pav. How are you? And Wendy?
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you want to say?
In 91, I was at Wembley Stadium, 88,000 people, for the World Cup Rugby League final, and there was 15,000 of us against, you know, the rest of the crowd, and we sang the national anthem, and the Pommy crowd just applauded us like there was no tomorrow.
That's nice. Have been there.
That's not something you hear always about English sporting crowds, Kieran, so I'm glad that happened.
Oh, lovely, lovely moment.
Wonder if that would have happened in the Ashes. Well, in the cricket while the Ashes was on. Probably not.
No, I don't think so.
Nice story, Kieran. Thank you for that one, mate. And Jefferson in Petersham. G'day, Jefferson.
How are you, Pav? Hi, Wendy.
Good morning.
Four regular ones that go around the folk festival circuit. Revolutionary, optimistic, futuristic ones. Freedom on the Wallaby by Henry Lawson with the last verse, and we needn't say the false is ours if blood should stain the wattle, and we'll make the tyrants feel the sting of those that they would throttle.
A very powerful piece, a powerful poem, that one, Jefferson.
There's also Anthem by the Titas Aboriginal Trio in Melbourne, which was a piss take on the national anthem, and a very good one at that, very melodical as well. There's Alistair Hewlett's song, When the Swaggies Have All Marched Matilda's Away, which we played at his funeral and all sang it. And the final one is all the various versions of the Eureka Stockade songs. The Bushwhackers have done two or three of their own ones, but the traditional one is the one that starts, it was the month of December the year 54 when the men of Eureka rebelled. It's just called the Eureka Stockade. You'll find it in the Builders Labourers Songbook. And, I'm just saying there's also piss takes on Advance Australia Fair.
I don't know if we want one of them as our national anthem, but look, you've brought up some pretty interesting ones there. There is this rich history of political songs in this country, and that one that was mentioned there, Freedom from the Wallaby, is a very powerful piece, very powerful poem that was written in reaction to what was going on in politics at the time. And I think if it was almost written these days, people would be labelling Henry Lawson a bit of a commie It's pretty fun. Have you ever read Freedom on the Wallaby, Wendy?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's a powerful piece of political writing. And, you know, it does embody the Australian character in many ways. So, yeah, I'm not sure if it would be suitable as an Australian national anthem. Maybe put to the right lyrics, put to the right melodies, perhaps.
After the revolution, Pav.
After the revolution, Jefferson. We'll get it up, mate. Good suggestion. Thank you. Olivia is on the road in West Australia. G'day, Olivia.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. What did you want to say?
Oh, about Waltzing Matilda. Yeah, mm-hmm. And Banjo's Nanny, Wiradjuri Nanny.
Oh, yeah.
And it's an old song. It's an old dreaming song. All the songs come from here, really, dreaming songs. But
okay,
that one particularly, Waltzing Matilda, who's it about? Who's the jolly swag man? and I have a theory on that, if you want me to go into that. But
what's your theory?
Do you know about King Billy?
I know a little bit about King Billy.
Yeah, well, he walked to the opening of Parliament House up there in Canberra. I just drove, actually, from Canberra to the Kimberley.
Yep.
The two little kids bring the message of King Billy up there to the Kimberley. Spent a couple of months there. It was mad.
And so what's the connection with King Billy and Waltzing Matilda?
Well, he's the king. He walked all that way. So who were the swagmans? That was the black fellows who were working, you know, wandering around.
Oh, yeah.
Jumping in with billabongs, and they can't die. I mean, we tried to kill them all, but they can't die.
Hey, Olivia, you're broken up there on the phone. But look, a really interesting point you make. I mean, there is sort of elements, I suppose, of that in the story of Waltzing Matilda. But, I mean, my understanding of Henry Lawson and Banjo Paterson, both of them, they didn't bring a lot of Indigenous characters into their work. You know, there was almost a great silence that they were criticised for not having enough Indigenous characters in their work. So I'm not sure if there's a connection. Have you ever heard that one before, Wendy?
No, I can't say that I have.
Yeah. Certainly, the King Billy story is an amazing one and probably one that we should chase up on the program down the track. Anne-Marie's called. G'day, Anne-Marie.
Oh, hi, Pav. I just picked up on something. I've got a disclaimer. I've got a Scottish-Irish background. So the Great Britain's anthem is God Save the Queen, but when it comes to the actual, like, Scotland, they'll have O Flower of Scotland.
Oh, yeah.
And Wales has Cumbria. So, and then, but when they had the Commonwealth Games, they were, for England, they were playing Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah.
So, but no one could sing along to it because, like, it's, you know, it's a very old, it's really a church, you know, song.
That should be the Jerusalem national anthem, shouldn't it? The Palestinian national anthem, not the English national anthem. What's going on there?
Well, I don't think even the Palestinians would want Jerusalem, you know, like, I mean, because it's British, so they want to have their own.
Saying is it doesn't, you know, smack of English.
No, exactly.
I know what you're saying. I mean, that's a really interesting point too, Anne-Marie, that you bring up there, that, I mean, what happened in the Commonwealth Games? Obviously, we didn't all play God Save the Queen, so we must have needed the national anthem in those situations, Wendy.
Yeah, look, it's a bit of a tricky one. We even went through a point in history where we kind of were split on both ways. Like, after Gough Whitlam said, "This is our anthem," in 1974, the Fraser government came back and said, "Oh, no, it's not. Let's change that back." But they left a little bit of a loophole there, saying, OK, in official occasions, we want you to play God Save the Queen, but in civic ceremonies, you can, you know, pick whether you want to play Waltzing Matilda, Advance Australia Fair, Song of Australia, or God Save the Queen. Mm. So they were sort of hedging the bets, in a sense.
Also, I think it was fairly clear that amongst the Australian public that they wanted change.
I think that's one thing we have been united on. Actually, that's not fair. Not everyone agrees with that as well. But the movement came from, let's have change, let's have identity, let's reinforce what Australia is and who we are.
Mick's just put up in here, there was confusion at the Helsinki Olympics in 1952 when Shirley Strickland won a gold medal in the 80-metres hurdles. The ceremony played two national anthems, Advance Australia Fair and God Save the Queen.
That's interesting.
Shaq's call. G'day, Shaq.
Hey, how are you, brother?
Good, thanks.
Just a quick one. In Fiji, we used to have, I grew up there, basically, and every Monday we used to have an assembly outside, and we used to sing God Save Our Queen and Waltzing Matilda every Monday,
Waltzing Matilda as well.
Yes, oh yeah, oh yeah. Not Advanced Australia Fair. It was Waltzing Matilda every Monday.
There you
but
go.
The point I'm trying to point I'm trying to make is like if you listen to American anthem, right, Star Spangled Banner, you know right away throughout the world everybody knows that's American, right? So you could like any other nationality, they play the national anthem. You don't know which one. You don't you listen to it once, then you forget it.
Yeah.
But I feel that you got to have a ring to it that you remember that. Oh, yeah, that's Australian. You know what I mean? And it's good for tourism, too, by the way.
Hey, Shaq, what is the national anthem of Fiji?
Actually, I left Fiji a long time ago, but I tend to forget. But when I was growing up there, I thought 9 years old, I remember that particular segment of it.
Okay, no worries.
But the point, that's the point, see? Yeah. If it had a ring to it, I wouldn't have forgotten it, see? You know what
enough.
I mean?
No, like, it's fascinating.
Waltzing Matilda has got a ring to it.
It's got a bit of a memorable song to it. Hey, look, Shaq, I'm with you. I know what you're saying there. I think I'm picturing all these Fijian kids singing Waltzing Matilda. Wendy, I'm thinking Australian cultural imperialism. What's going on there?
You know, one thing that's going through my head is that, gee, it's handy to have the word Australia in the song. That's going to help people identify who we are.
Mudu Da Doka is the Fijian national anthem, or God Bless Fiji, it's also called. Thank you, Mick. Much appreciated. Neil's call from Perugian Beach. G'day, Neil.
Oh, g'day. National anthems seem to divide into two lots. There's the Marseillaise, the French, and the Chinese, surprisingly. Dong Fong, Wong Tai Lao Yang. We are somewhere at the dirge end, I think.
the dirge end.
And I think we possibly need to rebuild it or just have a melange of anthems, which we can trot out anytime.
Anthems on 45.
Yeah. I wrote a little song, but it's Australia. She's a wonder of the land down under, and it's Australia Day. But, you know, sort of something a bit more upbeat, fun. That's us. Yeah. We're fun.
We need to bring back the songwriting competition, I think.
Maybe. Yeah, that's right.
It mightn't end well, I've got to warn you.
No, well, probably won't. It's fraught. It's a very fraught subject.
Indeed.
It's fun. But anyway, that's the range you've got, dirgy or upbeat.
All right.
Work with.
Thank you, Neil. Much appreciated.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, look, do we need a dirgy song or an upbeat song? I'm not sure, Wendy.
Oh, that's a generational gap on that one.
It's definitely. But, they're normally solemn anthems and upbeat a little bit. So maybe Neil's got a point there.
Indeed, I think so.
Okay, and I've got here A Slice of Heaven, someone is suggesting should be the New Zealand national anthem, Ta. Can you sing the second verse of Advance Australia Fair, Wendy?
Well, confession time. I have to have the words in front of me to do it. I was asked to sing it for the Lord Mayor up here in Brisbane, and I was so petrified that I wouldn't remember the words because I sang God Save the Queen growing up that I got my school choir to do it instead just to avoid having to sing the second verse.
It's going a bit of effort.
It was, actually, but I think everyone enjoyed it. The parents certainly were delighted to have their kids up there singing.
Andy says, in 1969, my third grade class teacher used to have us sing God Save the Queen and the first two verses of Advance Australia Fair every morning.
This oh, wow.
Well before
yeah.
it became the national anthem. But I remember marching around the primary school playground to a lot of old English tunes.
Oh, yes, that's right. We used to have to march into class. That was quite fun. Yes. That's right, yeah.
So it was always a sort of part of the routine or the officialdom, even, wasn't it, to have music?
Yeah, the parade and then the exit of the parade, yeah.
All right. If we hear the lyrics of Advance Australia Fair as our sporting national teams go into battle, could we please have a female singer for the women and the male singer for the men? Says Wayne in Oakley. That's a fair point.
I can understand that.
Yeah. I do like the melody of Advance Australia Fair, and I find it quite a musical piece. And it is a melody that was written a long time ago. The fact that it survived the test of time makes me think, you know, maybe we should stick with it and maybe adapt it. Maybe write a second verse, perhaps.
Mm, everything's possible. We just need to be talking about it and see what we want to do, be conscious of this decision that we have if we want to make a change.
What would you like, Wendy?
Oh, I really worry about dividing Australia in saying something there. Look, I'm ready for a change, but I am aware, you know, I'm one person. We really need to sort of get a sense of what the nation feels about it.
Jeez, you've dodged that one well, haven't you?
No, oh, thank you. I've got good at it. I've had so much interest in this.
If we were to start a songwriting competition or a composing competition, are there any wonderful composers in the world you think maybe could get the gig? We could approach them, like a John Williams, perhaps, who's written all those famous film scores.
Oh, look, I don't understand why we didn't have a winner way back in 1974 or the 1950s. You know, we have some very talented musicians, some brilliant people. So I would love to see, and of course Australian people, I'd love to see writing this song for us. And, you know, we could divide it. We could have people who write the lyrics, people who write the, you know, the melody, and then, you know, a team that helps, you know, how do we merge them together?
Yeah, look, it would be interesting to see. Have you heard many of the entries from the song competition? Has anybody ever heard many of them?
I can't say that I have, no. I'd like to, that would be my next topic for research, is go back and see what we said no to.
I wonder where they are, if anybody's kept them even.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be very interesting. I am a bit sceptical. I could put a lot of money into trying to compose a new national anthem and put a song competition out there. And as I said, we'll probably come back at the end of it and go, like they did last time. I'm not sure if there's anything better than what we've already got. It is a very quirky story too, how it was our national anthem, then wasn't for a couple of years, and then was again. I think that is very Australian.
Very much.
Maybe they should write that into the second verse. look, it's been fun talking to you, Wendy. Appreciate your time very much this morning.
Thank you, Pav. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks. Dr. Wendy Hargraves there, Senior Learning Advisor at the University of Southern Queensland.